Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, last week we ended asking this question as homework. Should we try keep God's laws? Well, I mean, after all, when we try, all we see is how unholy and how unrighteous and how bad that we really are. I mean, what is the point? Well, the point is, now open up your spirit and pay attention here. The point is, we must try to keep the law, but not as a means by which we are saved or we keep saved or even that we maintain the grace of God. Oh no. Rather, our intention to obey God should be the outcome of our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Let me say that again. Our intent in keeping the law is to obey God, and it should be the outcome of the faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now I hope you're sitting down, and please open up your spirit and really understand what I'm going to say here, that a born-again Christian can sin, but a born-again Christian, one birth from above, does not want to sin. Sin is not their way of life. It is not their lifestyle. This is why someone who calls themselves a homosexual, have it be a lesbian or a sodomite, whose lifestyle or way of life is contrary to the Word of God and what God calls an abomination, cannot be a Christian. No way. No way. Now get that, please. Same with that self-identifying Christian who supports darkness in the way of abortion or transgenderism or LGBTQ, wokeness, and all that garbage out there. Please do not call yourself a Christian, because God does not. We cannot support things that God hates and rejects and expects to be blessed by God or to be called a Christian. Now get that, my friend. Now perhaps our flesh at times will cause us to sin. Yes, it will. And there's always going to be the possibility of an appeal to our flesh. But someone who has really given her life to Christ, the new creature in Christ Jesus, does not want to sin. And their lives is not marked with continued rebellion and open rejection of God's word. Now, a little note here as a side note on this topic. Temptation is not a sin, but if we entertain temptation in our thoughts and then act on them, well, that is going to be sin. James tells us in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Now notice, by his own lust, not by Satan or anything else, but it's our own lust, and then enticed. Temptation is coming our way, make no mistake. But in itself, that is all it is, just temptation and not sin. But if we play the temptation over and over in our mind and allow the thoughts a beachhead in our mind, you can just bet that a full-scale amphibious landing is coming to the shores of our heart. And once established, we act, and then we react, and sin comes forth. Now, James continues here, James 1:15. Then, when lust, that's not the temptation, but the lust, hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Christians' growth and development is a process wherein our desires to want to obey God becomes more and more dominant than the appeal to cater to our flesh, which is to be less and less dominant. Let me say that again. Christian growth and development is a process wherein our desires to want to obey God becomes more and more dominant, and the appeal to cater to our flesh less and less dominant. Paul says in Romans 6:1-2, are we to continue in sin because grace abounds? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer in sin? clearly, if we are born again, we could possibly sin or have the ability in our self nature, but we must never use the fact that grace abounds as a license to sin. And why? Because we are to be dead to sin through the new birth. You know, I hear some Christians say, God knows my faults and my failures. You know, he knows that I sin and his grace covers me. Well, true, but this is how many Christians look past their sin. God knows. Well, yes, he does, but God also knows his word and his ways, and he expects us to walk in his word and his ways. Let's go even a little deeper here, my friend. Some Christians are to try to keep God's laws, but always with the understanding that our obedience earns us nothing, and our failures do not condemn us if we are in Christ. Let me say that again. Our failures will not condemn us if we are in Christ. But if not, then God will not declare us righteous, and our failures will not only condemn us, but it would also send us to the lake of fire. Wow. Our good works have nothing to do with God's declaration that we are righteous. Let me say that again. Our good works have nothing to do with God's declaration that we are righteous. That is why Paul said in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Paul was saying that justification by faith, God's declaration of us as righteous, which is ours only by faith, is said to be, wow, a grand canyon apart from any of our works under the law. Indeed, Paul will go on to show that good works and obedience are the outcome of having been justified by faith, never the means by which we are justified. Let me say that again. Our good works and obedience are the outcome of having been justified by faith, never the means by which we are justified. You know, if we actively believe we can keep the law of God, we are deceived. Yeah, that's right. Paul himself said that we, you know, desire to keep the law of God, but he laments over the fact that there was nothing, and there were many things that he wanted to do, but he could not. And many things he wanted to stop doing, but he did not. Yet, despite it all, he proclaimed that none of his faults had anything to do with the righteousness of Christ, which was his by faith. Paul's message of grace stated that none of his obedience enhanced the grace of God, and neither did any of his sins take away from it. The grace of God is based solely on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The grace of God is based solely on the finished work of Jesus Christ, and our faith must stand on that. Our faith must stand on that. The purpose of God's law is to reveal to us his righteousness as it would be lived by a perfect human being. But as such, it is man immediately shows us to be sinners. Oh, that's right. Good news is that at this point, the great but now comes in. In other words, when we finally reach the place where we see that we are dead sinners, dead men and women walking, we will see that God offers us a way which is completely independent of our good works, and that his grace through Jesus Christ. Once we place our faith in Christ, we are instantly justified by faith. And as we have seen, this means that first, we are immediately declared righteous by God. Wow, I like that. Case closed, forever, full stop. But secondly, we are born again when we have the very life of Christ within, his righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will then spend the rest of our lives growing in the grace and the knowledge and the holiness through the process of sanctification. Amen. Okay, next week I would like to start a new series looking at God's grand purpose and plan in our life, and that is not to make us rich and happy and famous and beautiful or any of that stuff. Oh no. God's grand purpose and goal in our life is to form Christ in us. So next week I would like to begin a new series, Forming Christ Within. Forming Christ Within. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a great week. Tune in next week for Forming Christ Within. Amen.